Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's 11 o'clock at night. It's dark. You're sitting in front of the mirror getting ready for bed. There's nobody else in the house. You see something move in the corner of your eye. You glance to your right, but you don't see anything. Another minute goes by, and you think you see movement again. So you slowly turn to your left, but again, the room is empty. You turn back around, and staring you face to face in the mirror is a cat. You jump back, because you don't have a cat, and there's no cat in the room. But there he is, staring at you in the mirror. Welcome to Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters. Ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Now, step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghost host.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Pet Radio on PetLifeRadio.com. Our topic today I'm actually really excited about because it's post-life communication with pets or talking to pets after they've died. As a paranormal investigator, I've worked with wonderful sensitives who have communicated with people, but I've not really worked with anybody who's communicated with pets. Now, and I do apologize to those listening. Today has been a very interesting day, and we're going to have some pug noise in the background. I wish they were barking at something supernatural, but they're not. They're just having a pug day today. But I am so thrilled to say that we are hosting today Karen Anderson, who is really a very talented animal communicator who deals with animals in both life and in death. And I'm just so intrigued by this topic that I can't wait to get started. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we just need to pause for these announcements, and we will be right back with Karen Anderson.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal Pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host.
And welcome back. Today's guest is Karen Anderson, who is America's animal communicator and the author of Hear All Creatures. She is known worldwide for her ability to communicate with all animals, living or deceased. The abundance of detailed information on Karen provided during her consultation really sets her apart as an expert in her field. And actually, she was recommended to me when I was being interviewed as a paranormal investigator. The man's name is Lion, interestingly enough, Lion and Sierra, and they recommended her to me. She has abilities that were revealed early in her life, and she spent the past decade sharpening her skills to assist animals in need. She has mastered her intuitive abilities as a deputy sheriff. Now that's intriguing. And Karen has learned to trust her inner voice as she encountered life-threatening situations while on patrol. She is a popular TV and radio guest, a public speaker and mentor. She also does animal rescues, and she's done this since 1999. She resides near Spokane, Washington, and she continues to be an advocate and really gives voice to all creatures out there. So welcome, Karen.
Hi, Brandy. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, this is just a fascinating topic, and I thank you for bearing with through the noise and everything else we've had going today. But I'm curious, how exactly did you get into this field? I mean, what an intriguing niche to have. So how did you get into animal communication, post-death communication?
Yeah, it's a funny jump going from cop to pet psychic, I know. You have to scratch your head at that one. But, you know, looking back on it now, it all makes perfect sense to me. And truly, for those who are in law enforcement or have a loved one in law enforcement, I don't know a cop out there that isn't intuitive to some degree. They all have a certain sense about the bad guy or knowing a situation before they walk into it. They won't call it intuition. They'll call it a gut feeling. Mm-hmm. But I don't know any cop out there that doesn't use other than their five senses. That you have to. It's your survival instinct. So looking mm-hmm. back now, it makes perfect sense to me that that's where I was able to sharpen my skills. And that was when I received my first message as an adult from one of my own cats. But I could do this many, many years ago as a child. In fact, I think children are fabulous at being able to see spirits, ghosts, different energies. They don't know that they can't. They're so
That's
open
right.
and so able to feel and sense and see things. And it was truly when I was a young child that I first communicated with animals. But honestly, Brandy, I thought everybody could. I didn't know that it was something different or unusual.
Oh, that is fascinating.
That's where it all started.
And actually, so far you've hit on some topics that we actually do teach with the Spirits of St. Petersburg. And in fact, one of our sensitives is a retired cop. She was in the sex crimes division, so that's what she spent a great deal of time doing. But she has an extraordinary amount of sensitivity. It's been quite amazing to work with her. And she was really one of the Spirit's most successful early sensitives. So
I believe it.
It's really, really neat. Well, now, how exactly did you discover post-death communication? You've mentioned that a cat contacted you, but, I mean, how did this happen?
You know, it was actually, the first message I received was, as an adult, was from one of my cats who was alive, and it was, I document this and talk about it in great detail in my book, Hear All Creatures, about how I was just getting up one Saturday morning to make coffee, and I heard this voice in my head, basically. It was like a voice in my head, but the weird thing was it was my voice, and it was in my head, but it wasn't my thought. So I thought I was going crazy. I thought, you know, I've been putting in too many hours, kind of starting to lose it here. I really thought I was losing it, and then it turned out that my cat really was sick. The message he was giving me was that he was very sick. It was very urgent. And so that kind of made me go, wait a second, maybe I'm onto something here. So when I first communicated with an animal who had passed on, transitioned to the other side, I had no idea that this animal wasn't still alive, because when I first started to learn how to do this, I practiced from a photograph. I would use the photograph of an animal to make the connection and to obtain the messages. So I had a photograph, and I was practicing with it, assuming that it was a German Shepherd, assuming that the German Shepherd was alive and well, and all of these strange messages started coming in about what her life used to be like and what used to be her favorite things to do and what her family did for her. It was all past tense. So I had no idea at the time. I came about it very much by surprise, and it just kind of happened. And it surprised me, because I thought in my rational head that it would be more difficult to communicate with an animal who had passed away or transitioned. It mm-hmm. just didn't seem like it would be as easy, because they're physically gone. They're not here.
That is actually fairly interesting, because there are different philosophies on what happens to animals when they die. And the ones that I hear most often are, you know, for example, small animals cross over very quickly and then they, you know, reincarnate or whatever. Cats are supposed to stay around for about 6 months and then they transition over. And usually folks do say they reincarnate. And then dogs can kind of retain their consciousness for up to a year. So where is it exactly, you know, well, first of all, do you agree with that? I mean, do pets retain that consciousness longer, or what is your theory on what happens with animals when they pass on?
Well, and I'm certainly going to just share from my experience. I can only tell you what I have learned, what the animals have told me, and certainly, you know, there may be other theories and beliefs out there, and you know, whatever makes sense to you is the way I like to look at it. But for me, I have contacted animals who have passed away 50 years ago.
Wow.
Make the connection with that animal. I can still contact that animal. So as far as their consciousness only being around for a limited period of time, the only time that I would think to disagree is that if that animal has reincarnated back into another physical body, they may, I've never had that happen. I've always been able to contact them regardless of what happens to them, but they may not respond to other people because they have gone into a new body and they're living a new life as another creature. So I kind of say, here's my take on it, Brandy. I feel that there's no rule book out there, and whatever can happen is possible, and the possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that our animals are always connected to us many, many years eternally after they pass and into our next lifetimes, and they come back with us lifetime after lifetime.
Now, that's kind of interesting because I do teach religions. That's my primary profession, other than trying to herd these pugs and keep them quiet or, you know, doing paranormal investigation. And there is one theory that says in Buddhism, we must be compassionate to one another because in every life, we have already contacted every other living being. So every living being here has at some point been our mother, our father, our pet. We were their pet. You know, so there's this kind of interchanging of souls and consciousness all throughout reality.
I believe that to be true simply by what the animals have told me and what they've shown me. And I have repeated sessions with animals who will show me a past life experience with their human being, and they'll show me like a Civil War battle where the two of them were soldiers, or they'll show me that an Egyptian scene where they're mummifying the bodies and preparing them for burial, but they're both human energies. Or they'll show me one was human, one was animal, and it doesn't really matter who was who or what was what, because we all have been with each other, experienced life with each other and relationships, because that's where we have our greatest amount of learning, is in a relationship.
Now that's pretty amazing. That I do find fascinating, and I don't know if others have experienced this, but this might run along the same lines. I know that I personally have seen many pets, but there are certain ones that you just kind of have a little spark with. Odyssey was one of them. He's my 13 and a half year old pug, and you know, when I saw him, he was 4 weeks old, and there were all these puppies. They're all very cute, but it was Odyssey. You know, that was the one, and I remember picking him up, and he gave me a kiss, and he chewed on my necklace. You know, at 4 weeks, and I was like, well, this is my pug. You know, I've even had that experience with rats. You know, you see one and you're just like, wow, that one's mine. Do you think that has something to do with this reincarnation? Are we actually meeting up with former pets or friends?
I believe you just hit the nail on the head, so to speak. And here's what they've told me, Brandy. The animals tell me that the reason we have that, I call it soul recognition, where we either go out to buy a gallon of milk at the corner market and we come home with a kitten or a puppy, is that there was something that drew us to that soul, regardless of what shape it's in. It could be human, it could be animal. Our souls on a higher level recognize each other, and they're doing the yippee skippy dance because now we're back together again. And it's that soul recognition that brings us together in this lifetime and in past lifetimes. I do believe that to be true.
Excellent. Well, where are pets in the meantime? I mean, if you're able to communicate with them, where do they go post-death? Is there a liminal state? Are they just existing? I mean, it's kind of interesting. Are they in heaven? I mean, where do they go? Where does this energy go? Or you just don't know?
Well, I think I have some theories on it. And certainly, I'm again sharing my experience from what they tell me. And most of the animals, as soon as they transition, are welcomed into what I call the light or the pure love of what we define as heaven or the other side or the afterlife, however you call it, however you describe it. Mm-hmm. And they're usually greeted by loved ones, family and friends and other animals who are on the other side. There's usually a big celebration, and it's quite party-like atmosphere where you and I are here left to grieve and to mourn the loss. They're over there having a good old time and excited to be reunited again with other family members and loved ones. And certainly there is a group effort and a group celebration when somebody transitions. It's like a celebration of their life.
Okay.
They're honored and welcomed in, and I describe it as all around us. It's not in another location. It's not up in the clouds. It's not on another planet or galaxy. the animals tell me that they are all around us, that they live in heaven, if you will, as a parallel existence to us.
Okay.
So that means they can still hang out with us, they can be in our cars with us, they can go to lunch with us, they can go to the grocery store. I have animals during my sessions tell me what their moms had for lunch the day before, and these are deceased animals, what they bought at the grocery store. They've shared new hairdos, new haircuts, new hairstyles with me.
Wow.
They go with us. They're with us all the time. Our souls are eternally connected to our animal loved ones, and there is no end to those bonds of love. The bonds of love continue.
Excellent. Well, that is actually quite intriguing as well. That really does fit with a lot of other ideologies that are out there. And in fact, even again, in paranormal investigation, there's this idea that the spirit realm, and I think this is Sylvia Brown, but that the spirit realm is basically a higher frequency than our own. And that literally, and even in Buddhism, the realm of the hungry ghosts, Hinduism, the plane ideas, almost like the psychic planes, that these actually overlay one another, and that we actually move through them, but we're just not able to be aware of them.
I agree. I think we are aware of them at times. I think some of us have visitations, and I have so many clients say, oh, Karen, I could have sworn I saw my dog down the hallway, or I felt a warm spot on the bed, and there was nobody there. And, you know, there's things like this that happen all the time, Brandy, and I think it is we discount it so many times instead of accepting it as really our loved ones letting us know, hey, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm around you, and I always will be. And I have to raise my vibration to connect with spirit energies, and they have to lower their vibration to connect with me. So we kind of meet in the middle. It's like a halfway meeting point is what we do.
Wow, now that is actually pretty amazing as well. And that does actually, it matches up what you're describing. It's just, it's so amazing to see the crossover. And I think it's interesting too that perhaps in the West, and I have mentioned this before in other shows, that the Western undertone, the Western cultural undertone is that, particularly with more fundamentalist Western religions, is that animals don't have souls. The thing that differentiates us from everything else is really that humans have souls in the West, whereas in the East, there's more of an understanding that animals have a Buddha force, or they have the Atman for Hinduism, or in animistic societies that beneath the skin, humans and animals are actually the same. You know, so the Western ideal, I think, is a little bit slower in catching up with this whole nature of animals and post-death communication. And I think now it's starting to become a hotter topic. I think that's interesting that we have Paranormal Pets radio show here. I actually have a couple of websites dedicated to paranormal pugs. So pugs who come back as ghosts, or people who experience ghosts with pugs. And even a rodent page right now that I'm trying to bring up where, you know, again, small animals are usually accepted as a commodity. You know, they come and go so quickly and they're cheap to buy. You know, but my point is that, wait a minute, you know, these little guys have it too. You know, you can't say that a cat or dog has a soul, but not a rat or a mouse. You know, and it goes further down.
I agree, and I don't buy into the fact that any animal or living being does not have a soul. I have read that, and that doesn't sit well with me. To me, any creature, how big or how small, has a soul, and I don't believe that there is just like I've heard of a group consciousness before, like if a small rodent or insect or something dies, they just go into a group consciousness that they're not capable of thought or feeling. I totally disagree. I have had some of the smallest of creatures share feelings with me and messages. So I personally disagree with, and not with you, with the theory that animals, smaller animals, don't have a soul. I say no way, they do too. And I have the sessions and the messages to back up my experience and why I feel that so strongly about that. I truly believe that they have souls. And I want to throw in one thing real quickly here. I think that it's our human ego here, the ego side of the brain on the Western civilizations, where we have this belief that we couldn't possibly have been an animal in a past life because we feel or have been programmed that the human species is so much more intelligent and evolved than our animal species. But I think in other cultures and other civilizations, they have a much greater respect for nature and animals and the animal kingdom, and so they're honored to have been an animal in a past life. To them, that's an honor. Whereas Western civilization, we see it as, oh, animals are below us. I mean, in general, not everybody, of course, but generally.
Well, the cultural undertone is absolutely so. You know, even I find it fascinating trying to teach. I teach young adults, you know, because I teach collegially and at university level. But, you know, I'll ask, well, where does meat come from? And they'll look at me and they'll say Publix. And I'll have to say, no, where does meat come from? You know, we have to walk folks through it. And I think it's going to be an interesting transition in the next couple decades, actually. Whereas, first of all, we're finding substitution for meat, which I think is good, you know, with soy and whatnot. And secondly, as people, I think part of our issue is that perhaps for the past couple hundred years, we've lost contact with the agrarian societies, particularly in the West with the Industrial Revolution. So we are moving urban and we're in the urban areas and we don't see nature anymore. So we don't connect anymore to that. And it's kind of a shame, really.
It is. It's sad. It's sad. It's like we need to get back to that belief that we have to honor and respect everything, including nature, including animals, that, you know, truly without nature and animals, we as humans couldn't exist. We couldn't survive.
You're absolutely correct. Well, what we need to do for just a moment is pause for a couple of announcements, and then we'll be back, and we're going to pick up with this great topic. So here are a couple of announcements.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host.
Okay, and welcome back. Well, I think the barking has ended, but the panting has now begun. That was a very exciting session for the pugs, apparently. But we have with us Karen Anderson, who is a very intriguing animal communication, both living and deceased. And we have just been talking about the role of animals and post-death communication with animals, and how, indeed, animals do seem to have a consciousness that goes across life and death. And I'm kind of curious, what animals do you think are easiest to contact after death? I mean, you've mentioned that you've had contact from all sorts of animals, including small ones. But what are some animals that are easier to come in contact with or the most common to come in contact with?
You know, most of my clients are calling me about their dogs or their cats. Those are the primary calls that I get. But I also connect with horses who have passed over, rats, top-bellied pigs, parrots of all different sizes and shapes, different reptiles, snakes, lizards, you name it. It's pretty much a little of everything. A typical day in my life is, you know, mostly dogs and cats and then a sprinkling of a few others. And honestly, Brandy, there is no one animal that is easier to communicate with. Even the theory that, you know, dolphins and whales are of higher intelligence and there might be an assumption that they're easier to communicate with, but I have found, just like any random sampling of humans, you have some humans that are extremely smart and intelligent and articulate and can carry a conversation, and then you have some not so much.
Okay.
The same can be said about animals. You have some that are incredibly articulate and can communicate well, and then others not so much.
And actually, I think you can see that even in life, because as I've mentioned, I have an assortment of pugs here, and I have seven of my own and one rescue that I'm taking care of. And then my mother also does foster and rescue, and she has her own, and I take care of them sometimes during the day, which is why it's a little noisier here. But it's interesting because I have seen, you know, there are levels. There are some that are very intelligent, very empathic, very much aware of their surroundings. And actually, there's kind of a pecking order. And then there's the very... we have one that I swear has three functioning brain cells, and these three brain cells are to do bad. He knows how to spit out pills, get around gates that he's not supposed to get around, you know, but everything else, he just kind of stands and stares. He does absolutely nothing. He's the most, I don't know, he's a very unusual little boy. So I think you're probably right, and these characteristics not only are in life, but they're also post-life. That's really neat. Now...
Their personalities and their little characteristics and innuendos about them, those all can come through during a session. The animals and their personality, they maintain that after they pass on. They keep those same types of behaviors and personalities, and that can be part of your session, of what comes through.
That is absolutely intriguing. And I'm kind of curious, what kind of clientele normally contacts you to do post-death communication? I mean, where does this come into everyday life?
You know, probably the highest number of clients who contact me about an animal who has transitioned is somebody that has either suffered a recent loss and they're having a hard time handling their grief, and they really just need that reassurance that their animal is okay. A lot of us carry around a lot of guilt if perhaps we weren't there when they passed on, or we felt that maybe we should have done one more surgery or one more procedure or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of clients from that respect that just want to kind of hear from them, make sure everything's okay. And then we have, of course, there's always lost animals where they want to know if they're dead or alive, and should they continue their search. And so it's kind of a little of everything. And I have clients, just yesterday I had a client contact me because she was having suicidal thoughts because of the recent passing of her bulldog, and she could not find a way to get through her grief. And while I always say that a session is never a cure for our grief, there's many organizations out there that can assist you if you're having suicidal thoughts, but it can certainly give you peace of mind and give you a better feeling hearing a message, especially when something so specific came through. This little bulldog yesterday came through and told me his mama's nickname for him.
Really?
It was nothing close to his own name, so there would have been no way in the world that of course I would have known that, and I don't spend my time trying to do those kinds of things. It's whatever the animals send me, you know, it's whatever they want to talk about. And it was truly the one thing that she needed to hear. Now, did that take away her grief? No. Did it make the pain of losing him better, easier? Maybe, maybe not. It's mm-hmm. It's a process. Grief is a process.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that as well, because there are now grief groups for pet owners. And I know, as I said, Odyssey is perhaps what I tell people is he's my familiar, because I can't find a better term. And a familiar, of course, goes back to the old days with the idea of witches, and that witches had a familiar. This was a being that augmented, you know, power. And even though, despite what my students may think, I'm actually not a witch, but I've always found this to be interesting, because people have already approached me, particularly, you know, family members, and they've said, well, you know, they're pet support groups, so that when Odyssey dies, you know, they want me to be prepared for this. And, you know, so I certainly understand that grieving process is there. And I think maybe it's because maybe that universal love and trust that we have with our pets. I've worked with many, many people, and humans are a little enigmatic, I have to admit. I think some days I actually prefer my pets. Because,
oh, boy. I'm with you there.
Yeah, you know, they don't care what you look like. They don't care. You know, you can be gone for 5 minutes and back, and they're always excited to see you. You know, there's not really that demand other than pay attention to me and feed me and make sure I'm happy. But you know, it's much simpler than dealing with humans, which are so complicated some days. So that grief process and knowing that the pet is still there in the afterlife, I think, would be quite significant. Absolutely.
I agree with you, and I can tell you that just from my personal experience, I've had some of my animals longer than I've had some of my human relationships, and they've been more fulfilling. And I think we spend more time with our animals than we do with a lot of other human beings. And there's a different kind of connection, and I know personally that I have grieved at times more deeply at the loss of one of my animal friends, meaning no disrespect whatsoever to my human loved ones who have passed on, mm-hmm. but the grief was somehow sharper, Brandy. It was somehow, I can't even quite describe it, but it was like someone had ripped my heart right out of my chest and that I couldn't yes. breathe anymore. And I understand that people have that same feeling with other human loved ones, but I find this to be a very common experience with humans who have lost their animal loved ones. There's just a very deep, deep pain, a deep bond there. So,
you're quite correct.
Yeah, and I have one really cool story to share with you. And
sure.
This is why I will continue to do my work, because I initially started this because I just loved animals and I wanted to understand mine on a higher level. And honestly, who wouldn't want to know what their animals are thinking? I can't even imagine not wanting to know what's in these guys', what's in their heads, you know, what they're thinking. But I had a session where the dog had been passed on for several years. It was a big, huge English Mastiff, those beige-colored mastiffs with the black mask on their face. Mm-hmm. And his name was Jack, and we were having a session with him and his mom and dad. I call you their moms and dads. And Jack came through with a message telling his human mom that she had something in her glands, in her body, and she needed to go get it checked out. And Brandy, it turned out to be breast cancer. The client had to have a surgery for the removal of her breasts and the cancer, and she's currently undergoing the last few treatments of chemo and the radiation, and she's actually back to work and doing quite well, and she firmly believes that that message from Jack saved her life, because she had no appointments to check up on anything until later on this year. This session came in last year around September.
That is actually quite amazing, and you're not the first to really say that. We did an interview with a Reiki master a while back about pet sensitivity, and one thing that she actually said was living pets will sense injuries in humans, and that animals actually do try to heal you. They are definitely your friends, and sometimes they will, even in life, they try to communicate these injuries to you. And she was actually describing sessions where she would have a client and this cat would just come and sit by and on this part of the client when she was trying to do a Reiki session, and the client didn't mind, but it turns out that this was so persistent that she said, well, you might want to go to the doctor. There's something odd here. And the woman went to the doctor and indeed was diagnosed with cancer and actually had to, underwent treatment and did well, but, partly attributes that to the animals. I mean, they're just so intuitive to us. They know us better than we know ourselves, I think.
They do, and they take on our illnesses and our injuries, and sometimes someone will call me because their animal is having an issue, and then I trace it back to the human.
That's interesting, and I've oftentimes wondered this because I'm a very proud rat owner, and I've noticed I've been working on a doctorate, which is... It's interesting. It's not really the love of my life, which it should be because I love education, but it's one of those practical degrees. So, and I've noticed that during times of stress, for whatever reason, that is when I will lose a rat. It almost always seems to be when I had one die right in the middle of comps. I had one die, during my first presentation in the degree program when I was getting a paper back. That was very stressful. Actually, when I was producing a paper, that was a horrible thing to produce. And it seems like, and I hope to heavens it's not the doctorate killing these guys, but it does seem that they do respond to that's when they start to go. And I actually mentioned that to my chair, and I don't know how seriously he takes it, but I'm taking it pretty seriously. I'm trying to de-stress so I don't kill my own pets anymore.
I would change my perspective just a little, and I don't necessarily see it as you killing them. I like to think that truly, when you come from a loving place in your heart, even if you have to euthanize one of your animals, you're ultimately, you have their best interests as
yes.
your primary focus. And, if you purposely set out to do harm to an animal, that's a different situation, of course. And those who are abusive to animals, they're not a part of this. But I know, personally speaking, that I have agonized over having to help an animal transition, and it's got to be one of the hardest decisions and hardest times to go through to come to the realization that you have to make that final decision and say goodbye to a dear and devoted friend when perhaps there are parts of them that are still functioning and they're still showing little signs of joy or them, you know, happiness. And it's really a difficult time, and I struggle with it, and look what I do for a living. So
I understand.
It strikes us to the core. It strikes us to the core of who we are and the love that we share with these amazing animals and what they are here to help us with. The animals tell me that they are here to help us through our rough times, and I honestly think that the rats that you have lost during times of stress, that was just the end of the chapter for them, and they needed to open that space for another one to come into your life.
That well could be. I'm happy to say they were all pretty much, they were old at that point. So I will truly hope so. But nonetheless, I can't help but think if I de-stress, it will improve everybody's life. It's a good sign.
I agree. Stress is not good, even for our animals. They're like little barometers of us, if you can imagine. And think of a canary in the mining cave, you know how they put the canary in to see if the canary can survive in there, and then if it dies, they know there's not enough oxygen or whatever that is. Our animals are like little barometers of us, and so when they're not doing well, when they're dysfunctional, when they're with disease or illness, you need to trace that back to yourself and your life and your lifestyle, and are you living a balanced life? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you stressing yourself out?
Okay, so we were talking a little bit about some of the more powerful examples of post-death communication, but I think what we'll go ahead and do is prepare to transition to the question about how can people learn more about this topic? You're one of the very first I've ever met that does post-death pet communication, and I think that's just an absolutely fascinating field. How can people learn more about this?
I have so much information. If they go to my website, which is KarenAnderson.net, on my blog, there are actual detailed stories from sessions of different animals and the messages that they've shared, along with all kinds of photos and even letters from my clients saying what their experience was like. So lots of information there.
Mm-hmm.
I teach a two-hour teleclass, Brandy, on how to communicate with your animals, both living or deceased. So if they would like to learn how to do it, the class, I actually have a class this coming June 18th. That class is full, but if you want to put your name on the list for the next one, you can send us an email and we'll put you on the list. And that's the best way to learn, is to take a class, because I can teach most people how to communicate with animals in about 15 minutes, and then the rest is up to you, because you have to practice.
Okay. Now that actually sounds intriguing. I'm going to have to look up on this class. As I said, maybe it'll help me out with some of these pugs and getting them to behave when they need to behave. And even on paranormal investigations, I know on a couple of occasions people have sent small animals or pets or whatnot, but not really been able to fully communicate. So maybe that's a niche that I can start working on for the spirits of St. Petersburg.
Absolutely.
Well, I so sincerely appreciate your working with us today. This has just been one of those fun-filled days. I don't know. It started off that way, and I guess it's going to continue that way, but we finally made it, and you are just an absolutely fantastic guest.
Thank you, and I'll share with you when we're off the air. I have messages for you from your little rat Shadow, who has passed on, so I'll share those with you when we're on.
Be fantastic, and I look forward to that, and perhaps as things settle down a little bit, hopefully, we can try again, and it'd be very interesting to see what else you can find out about pets, so we'll talk a little bit about that off the air as well. So again, your website for people who are curious?
The website is KarenAnderson.net. The book is called Hear All Creatures, and you can get that on Amazon. Of course, if you want a personalized copy, you'd have to order it from me, and the book has just a tremendous amount of similar stories of what I shared today, along with how I first learned to understand the messages. So that's the easiest way. Just check out the website.
Excellent. And I am certainly going to go back through. I've seen your website, and it is very professional. It's very well done. And of course, I am quite interested in that book. So, well, I want to thank you again so much for being our guest. And basically what we are going to do is get ready to close out the show. I always remind folks, and I'm sure you agree with this, to support your pet rescues. There are many, many needy pets out there. There are wonderful animals out there that are in need of a good home, and you can help to provide that. Locally, I support the Pug Rescue, and I know, Karen, do you support a particular rescue?
I do. It's called the FPCA, and it is local here. I'm actually on the board of directors for it, so it's in the Spokane area. But, you know, go to your local shelter and just drop off supplies or even cash donations, anything, your time, your effort, your energy, anything that you can provide.
Oh, excellent. And with that, if anybody wants to see more on the paranormal, you can also check out the Spirits of St. Petersburg, www.spiritsofstpetersburg.com. And I certainly want to thank you all for listening, and I look forward to seeing you again on our next show. Have a wonderful day.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.